Static. Welcome back to Memory Static, the podcast that finds the movies you loved when you were little, talks about them, and throws a party to watch them. And at the end of every full-length episode is an original song inspired by the movie we cover. I'm your host, Bailey Moore, and my guest is longtime participator, first-time picker. You've heard her voice on several episodes, Texana Day. Welcome.
Hello!
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a preschool teacher, and I love children's cartoons as an adult, and I don't know what else to say about myself except that.
You're a really awesome human being. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there are other things to know about me. I studied archaeology. That's a cool thing. So done lots of cool international fun things for that. And I like to do aerial dance as my form of fitness. So those are some other things.
Those are all really, really good things. So what are we going to be watching?
We're going to be watching Pagemaster.
I think there's going to be a few people here today that watched it also when they were kids. So, to the best of your ability, can you give a brief summary of the Pagemaster without spoilers for people that might not have seen it?
Child, probably from like a sad story background, that seems accurate, goes to library and finds magic and wonder and goes inside of the storybooks and exists inside of that reality, like actually physically, and then comes back out.
Awesome. That's perfect. That is perfect. You remember this movie very well.
Oh, okay. Well,
I will say that you did pick a movie that I remember watching as a kid, but I had never revisited as an adult. So this has been an interesting experience. Have you watched this as an adult?
No, I've never watched it as an adult. I only remember it from childhood. We watched it. My sister probably loved it first, and then I loved it because of her. But then I loved it fully on my own, too. We watched it so many times that, sadly, it broke, and we no longer have that VHS. But that's how much we loved it.
Oh, man. You broke the VHS. How old were you when you first watched it?
I first saw Pagemaster when I was between 5 and 7, I believe. That would have been around 1996. Okay. Do you know when it came out?
1994.
Okay, so yeah, I probably saw it in 1995, 1996, you know, when the VHS came out. That makes sense.
Okay, so you did not see it in the theater?
Not to my knowledge. I don't think we really did that as a family much.
So do you have any memories surrounding this movie that you could share that led you to choose this one for your episode?
The memory that led me to choosing Pagemaster was the fact that my sister and I watched it so much that we destroyed the VHS and had to get it repaired, and that we did it again, but we didn't get it repaired a second time because DVDs were really the new thing.
Yeah. So, so Richard in the movie is afraid to take chances because of anxiety. Were you a timid or outgoing child?
I was incredibly outgoing, but my sister was timid as all get out.
So y'all kind of balanced each other a little?
Yeah, we did. I was the baby sister, but I was the outgoing, protective sister as well. For instance, in the neighborhood, there was this girl that I thought was rude to my sister. Mm-hmm. And I'm 4 years younger than my sister. So this is an 8-year-old child and I'm 4 years old. And she is saying something to my sister over the fence. I don't remember what, but this is caught on video. And then I get up and I turn to her and I was like, "You are a mean girl. Don't talk to my sister."
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Way to go.
And so I was like, "No, you don't do that." Another example is the bedroom light switch to our childhood room was on the far side of the bedroom. So you had to walk across the dark bedroom to turn the light on. And it was in a basement in Oklahoma. And it was really scary to my sister. And so she was 6 at the time. I was 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. So she would send me to turn the light on so that she could come into the bedroom because she was too scared. And I was not afraid at all.
That's good.
But Katie, my sister, she was the timid, scared one. And I invited her to this memory static. I just had so much going on this week in my personal life that I never reached out to her to make sure she could make it. So she probably won't be here, sadly. But
yeah, it's too bad that she couldn't join us. That would have been great. We love sisters on this podcast.
Yeah.
So do you have any good memories of going to the library when you were a kid?
Yes. There is this one library that I remember as like the terracotta library because it had all these like, oh, I can't think of the word right now, but replica. There we go. Replica terracotta soldiers decorating the outside parking lot of the library. Mm. And when you walked into that library, it had that like very 1990s gray carpeting floor, you know, that's like paper thin carpeting. Yeah. Entrance desk was right there, and behind the entrance desk was this like beautiful greenery, trees, like, because this is Florida. I grew up in Florida, so it's beautiful oak, live oak trees that are just behind the entryway of the library. And I remember going to the left, you have the children's section, going to the right, you have the section I don't go to. I don't know what was over there. But
right, that part wasn't important.
I don't know what was over there. Which also makes me think about, it's not a library, but there was a Barnes & Noble. It was my favorite Barnes & Noble in Orlando. And it was my favorite because the children's section had a stage that had like cut out wooden trees and like cut out like figures that were, you could make a whole drama scene with. Like it had curtains and had like a giant hollowed out tree stump that you could climb through. It was like a fairyland.
That is so cool.
It was so cool. It was the coolest Barnes & Noble. I loved it.
So speaking of books, what kind of books did you like to read when you were little and how does that compare to now?
It's exactly the same.
Perfect.
Yeah, pure fantasy. You know, like get me inside of a world, take me away from here. I loved, my favorite series as a child was The Magic Treehouse, you know? Mm-hmm. So like that historical realism fantasy, based in reality fantasy. So not high fantasy, I wasn't like Lord of the Rings or anything. The highest of fantasy that I got was sort of Harry Potter level or witches and wizards, you know?
Yeah, so fantasies that existed in our world.
Exactly.
I like those too. Oh, do you hear that?
What's that?
It's the slow-moving time machine getting warmed up.
Is it?
Yeah.
Whoa! I was like, your audio was cutting out weird or something. It was like this whirring sound.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's got some new sounds lately since it did its own updates. So it's been an interesting experience this season. Yeah, so in a second, we'll go into the slow-moving time machine and talk about how the movie was made. But just a reminder to everyone, if you don't want anything spoiled before watching the movie, this is the place to pause and then pick back up with us once you've finished. And the Pagemaster is available for rent to stream in several places. Woo. Okie dokie, Texana, have you always wondered what the slow-moving time machine looked like on the inside?
I have always wondered that, Bailey.
I thought that you had always wondered that. Well, you are about to get your chance to find out what it looks like on the inside.
Fantastic.
Okay, wait. Okay, it's almost ready. Wait for it. Okay, all right, we can enter now. Oh, shit. Hold on 1 second. I have something else I need to grab. Hopefully I can find it.
Oh, no. What's happening to the time machine?
Hold on. Okay. Hehe. I had something to take into the time machine with me, so I had to grab it real fast.
Okay. I'm glad. I don't want you to forget anything, because once we start the process...
Yeah, no, it's not easy to slow things down. We've got to, you know... Yeah. there's been a lot of, like, you know, little kinky things. Like, what's the word I'm looking for? Hinky?
Well, I mean, I understand what you mean by kinky being,
kinks.
Kinks.
Yes. No. A lot of kinks.
Yeah. Hiccups. There have been a lot of hiccups.
This season with the time machine. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and step on, and I think everything will be fine.
Oh, okay. Well, I trust your judgment on that. So let's do this time machine. 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 Time machine.
All right, Texana.
Yay.
You've had ample time to build everything up in your imagination about the time machine. I'm very curious, does it live up to your expectations or are you disappointed?
Well, in addition to the regular features, of which I will not name because I do not know, there is new seats. We're in very plush and comfortable armchairs, and I really appreciate that. A nice sort of like velvet reading chair, somewhere you could curl up with a book and like a cup of hot chocolate. It's just got like a cozy little reading nook atmosphere.
I've also noticed that over in the corner, we've got a little fireplace, which I've never seen before in the time machine. That's a little...
Oh, unusual. I thought that was the power source, sort of like in Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah. As far as I know, we do not have a demon in the time machine. We have had a ghost, which has been fairly quiet as of recently. So maybe the ghost is gone. Maybe it's moved on.
Then I guess the decorations around the fireplace, like on the mantelpiece, there are some beautiful crystals and like some chests with gems in them.
Yeah, the time machine has really gone all out for you because I've never seen these kind of decorations before.
I feel so appreciated, time machine. Thank you so much.
Processing. You are welcome.
Wow.
It's beautiful.
The time machine talked to you directly. That was interesting. Can you explain to everyone where we are and what it does?
We are in the slow-moving time machine. It is this liminal space where we experience watching this movie, or how people are watching this movie, and then we are put into the time machine, and then we go to the end of the movie? No, we go...
We start at the end,
and then we
jump backwards
to watching the movie with people.
Not quite. I guess I just failed to explain this very well. Right, so our existence has been split into two. So we are simultaneously in the time machine and at the party watching the movie. But because this is not going to take as long as it does to watch the movie, we've sped up the time for our existence within the time machine
so that we will finish here at the same time that we finish the movie out there.
And when we step out of the time machine, our memories will join together. We'll have memories of two separate timelines, which can be a little confusing, but it'll sort itself out.
Oh, so it's like a... Spatial temporal machine.
Yes.
Metaphysical. How?
It's best not to ask too many questions because I'm not a trained scientist.
Don't worry, I won't stay on it too long. Going on.
Okay, just a little bit more about the time machine before we move on to the movie, because we need to acknowledge what happened last time with Lexter.
Previously on Memory Static.
We did have to make some alterations after Lexter, despite several warnings not to, decided to push the emergency eject button. You really don't want to know what that experience is like when you do that. Rejoining your other existence before the time machine has finished slowing down to matching duration units leads to... How do I put this?
Unwanted temporal shift symptoms.
Where you experience something a couple seconds into what you perceive as the future simultaneously with the present. Or you experience things you want to say as things you want to say as stuff you've already said, which makes conversations very confusing for all involved.
That would be very confusing.
Yeah. So fortunately, my time machine insurance coverage has been taking care of Lexter's time readjustment therapy. And he's almost completely recovered now.
Fabulous news.
Yes, fabulous news. Because we all care about Lexter very much. So to prevent anything like that from happening again, we have repainted the big button so that it is a less tempting color. It is no longer red. It is, what color would you call that, Texana?
Pale brown.
Yeah, not very enticing, right?
No, just like
a basic wood color.
Easy to miss.
A non-object.
Yeah. And just to be safe, we have added a sign. Would you mind reading the sign to our listeners just so they can get a clear visual of the changes we've made to the time machine?
Yes, the sign says, "This button is cool to press."
But we don't want people to press it.
Mm-hmm. It's a risk. Definitely a risk.
We were using reverse psychology. Yeah. We said, do not push this button under any circumstances, and Lexter pushed it. So
yeah, and so I'm just saying this button is cool to push. The problem, of course, being you do want to see what makes it cool.
Okay, so do you have any suggestions of how we can make it better?
A button exists, but not.
What if we put like a skull and crossbones over it?
Well, see, I was visualizing a little cage, you know, that was like cross-wired and you could fit your fingers through. So if it was desperate, like you could
shove your fingers into it,
but you wouldn't just be able to slap your hand.
That's a good suggestion. Okay. We'll make that alteration, but you know not to touch it.
Yeah. It's cool to touch, but you will be electrified.
Yeah. You didn't read that before, but that is like the postscript there. I think that we've fixed everything since Lexter made his unexpected ejection from the time machine. But just in case we missed anything, please let me know, because we really don't want to leave anybody in like some little time rift somewhere, which we don't expect to happen.
What sort of thing should I keep an eye out for?
Any strange feelings. If you feel like you're... perception of what's happening seems to be stretched.
Like kind time is moving slower?
Or like maybe you're experiencing things in more abstract forms rather than like, you know, very solidly my face in front of you with my voice coming out of my face.
Can you hear that?
That's a strange noise. Maybe it's the ghost in the time
machine.
Ooh.
I told you, like, it might still be here. We've talked enough about the time machine. Texana, are you ready to learn about the Page Master?
I'm so ready. I know so very little. I'm so excited.
Okay, well, I'm excited to share with you. I always really enjoy researching the animated ones, but this one was particularly difficult to find information on. It was hard to find sources to cross-reference to determine what was actually true. So I'm operating on some flimsy factual ground, but I did find a helpful YouTube video by someone named Morgan Ledger, who obtained information from some sort of published magazine from the time. But even he doesn't claim confidence over the story he tells. So hopefully I can make it interesting to you and everyone else that happens to be listening to us.
It already is interesting to me because it's still a mystery.
Very true. Okay, so let's dive in. Are you familiar with Turner Entertainment?
Nope.
Probably the name that would ring the most bells is Turner Classic Movies, maybe?
Mm-mm. I'm just thinking of Will Turner.
Turner Classic Movies was started by Turner Entertainment. It's a channel that's dedicated to showing classic film, and they don't have commercial interruptions. I loved Turner Classic Movies in high school. Anyway, I digress. Turner is now a subsidiary of Warner Brothers, who acquired it in 1996, which is why it's on HBO Max, because HBO Max had that Warner Brothers merger. They acquired it in 1996, but before that, Turner Entertainment, inspired by the resurgence of success that Disney Animation was experiencing in the early 90s with Lion King and Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast, briefly gave a crack at operating its own animation studio. And this began when Turner acquired Hanna-Barbera. It was then headed by David Kirschner and Paul Goertz. And for context, David Kirschner produced and wrote An American Tale, the Fievel movie, and he also produced the Chucky film series.
Child's Play.
All amazing, can I just say.
The story of the Pagemaster begins with a pitch meeting between David Kirshner and Ted Turner, who happened to be married to Jane Fonda at the time. I love Jane Fonda, and Jane Fonda loved the idea of the Pagemaster, and apparently her enthusiasm about the project contributed to the project being greenlit. You know who Jane Fonda is, right?
I know that name, and the moment you tell me what she's famous for, I'll remember her.
Okay, Jane Fonda, have you seen 9 to 5?
No.
Okay, amazing movie. I need to introduce you to it. In her early years, she did movies like Barbarella. And then,
okay, well, I can visualize her now.
Yeah, and then she did a lot of protesting during the Vietnam War, and then did more feminist stuff, and that's when they made 9 to 5, and she's in Grace and Frankie on Netflix.
Yes. Like, she's Grace.
She's Grace, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, 100% yeah. I know who Jane Fonda is, because I've watched all of Grace and Frankie.
Yeah, so that's Jane Fonda. She apparently had a huge influence over the make, like, that this movie was ever made. So I thought that was pretty special. There really isn't much on the production of the movie, other than that the animators that worked on it purportedly claim that things were mismanaged during production. The story was altered after things had been animated, resulting in the film becoming more expensive to produce and changing the substance of the plot. I couldn't find much to corroborate this, but if you really dig, there are clips of a Frankenstein monster that did not make it into the final film. There was also a legal conflict over who should receive writing credit. Honestly, I'm a little reticent to include much about it here. The details are murky and confusing, with only really Wikipedia as a source.
Yeah, so you don't want to, like, legitimize possibly a false narrative?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But suffice it to say that apparently the Writers Guild of America got involved and conducted an investigation, and the writing credits had to include two other people as seen in the film in order for the Pagemaster to be released on schedule.
Oh, so something went down where two people felt very underappreciated, neglected, taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Did you know who those two people were, though?
It was in the information when I was looking it up. I just couldn't find a lot of information on it, so I didn't really want to gossip about it.
Okay.
So let's talk about cast, because there are some really prominent talent in this. Do you remember anyone in the cast?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes, Whoopi Goldberg plays Fantasy, and we're going to get to her in a second, but most prominently, Macaulay Culkin is the main character.
Oh yeah, Macaulay Culkin.
He plays Richard. I feel like, and please do weigh in on this, but while I was researching this and thinking about it, I think this could be a main defining factor between millennials and Gen Z. And here it is. Do you know who Macaulay Culkin is? And if that's too simple because Home Alone movies are now a holiday viewing staple, then this. Can you name three movies from the 90s that Macaulay Culkin is in?
Home Alone. Uh-huh. Pagemaster.
Uh-huh. Come on, what came after Home Alone?
Home Alone 2. That doesn't count.
It totally counts.
That does not count.
Yeah, it does. I feel like if, you know, if Gen Z, like, has seen the Home Alone movies, they're like, Home Alone, Home Alone 2. And then, like, what else? But, like, Pagemaster, Richie Rich, My Girl.
I haven't seen any of those.
Just pretend like you do.
Oh, good. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Macaulay those Culkin. Ones. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm not a good movie person.
Have you seen Saved?
Fuck it. That was a great movie.
Well, he's in that movie.
Was he the brother?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the Pagemaster slash librarian is played by Christopher Lloyd. And do you know who that is?
That is another famous person's name.
He's Doc in Back to the Future movies.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I knew him. I was like, that's a face you don't really forget.
Of course. I mean, he's also like the villain in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And then we have several beloved Star Trek actors in this. Are you a fan of Star Trek at all?
My father loves Star Trek, and that was basically what we did growing up, was watch Star Trek while eating dinner.
We'll start with Adventure, who is played by Sir Patrick Stewart, who is Jean-Luc Picard in The Next Generation.
Yes. And of course I know Patrick Stewart because he's iconic.
But I think his performance in this is my favorite. While watching it, I kept forgetting that it's him. And the only time I think I've ever heard him put on a voice, and it's a pirate voice, and I think it's really fun.
Yeah, I think he's a really wonderful actor.
And then, as you mentioned, Whoopi Goldberg plays Fantasy, and she is Guinan in The Next Generation.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. And it works out because The Next Generation is the Star Trek show that I watched the most of.
And then Leonard Nimoy, who is Dr. Spock in the original Star Trek series. He plays Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
That was a good moment in the movie. Very mm-hmm. dramatic.
Yeah, no, and he's great in there. And then one of the pirates is played by Robert Picardo, who is the Doctor in Star Trek Voyager.
Oh.
So just a lot of Star Trek people.
That is.
And then Horror is voiced by Frank Welker, who is a big name in voice acting. He has been the voice of Fred Jones from Scooby-Doo from the very beginning and has been the voice of Scooby-Doo himself since 2002. And Frank Welker does a great job in this, as he always does. Knocks it out of the park.
Wow. That is quite the repertoire.
And then another big voice actor in this movie is Jim Cummings, who plays Long John Silver. And he is probably most recognizable as the voice of Winnie the Pooh, which he has done ever since the 80s, starting with The New Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. And he also does the role of Pete from Goof Troop. This movie had a lot of promotion before it came out. It was seriously hyped up through commercials and merchandising. In fact, this is the thing I had to, like, I nearly forgot to bring on the time machine with me, but I went and got it because I have been so excited to present to you. These are yours now.
Oh my God. That's incredible. I'm over the moon.
I love that.
Oh, wow. Macaulay Culkin. That's a winner right there.
Can you describe what you're seeing for our listeners?
Oh, that's right. This is a podcast. The things that I'm seeing, these are very 90s mug memorabilia of the characters, the three books, and Macaulay Culkin as drinking mugs made out of that like thick plastic that like... Really, I was the icon of a lot of memorabilia in the 90s.
Yes. I found them online and I just couldn't help myself. I was like, Texana has to have these as a memento of being on this podcast and doing the Page Master.
I think I'm going to keep one and then I'm going to gift the other ones to people that I find significant to me.
Oh, that's completely fair.
Well, because it's a lot to have on, you know. I think I'm going to gift one to you, most likely, because, you know, obviously. Right. But I don't know which one I'm going to give you yet. So that's TBD.
Despite all of the pre-release hype, like a lot of movies we've covered on this podcast, The Pagemaster was a box office bomb, not even making half of its budget back, and it was critically panned. Macaulay Culkin was nominated for a Razzie for Worst Actor. And Side note, this is the second time we've brought up a child being involved in the Golden Raspberries. And my question is, I know, it's like, why? Why do that to a child?
Yeah. You know, I'm not here for that. That's why I was like, wow, he's a kid.
Yeah. What's wrong with the adults making these nominations?
You're like fucking bullying a child on a global scale.
Yeah, the point for the Razzies, which, like, I don't really, like, feel good about them, but the point of them is to, like, allow actors to like make fun of themselves a little bit, to like know like they've put out really great work in the past and like acknowledging when they've done not as great work. But like for a child, there's no past experience to draw off of, and you're still absorbing and like making things part of your personality and understanding of the world, and like having adults tell you that you did a terrible job in this movie. I don't like that. I don't like it at all.
I think then in the only way that that could be done in a really true camaraderie sort of spirit is if it's only self nominations, and then people could vote on it and you all have to be in the Actors Guild, you know, like.
Yes, I think that that would be a great way to do it. Anyway, so Turner Feature Animation only produced two feature films, The Pagemaster and Cats Don't Dance. Both were monetary failures, and then, like I said at the beginning, the studio was absorbed by Warner Brothers. But on a brighter and personal note, I think the animation and vocal performances are very good in this, and an interesting fact about this movie is that it is one of the very first movies to combine hand-drawn animation, CGI, and live action.
Yeah, well, there you go. It was a novel experience.
Oh, you did it. You did it. So there it is, 1994's The Pagemaster.
Yay! It's such a good movie. I really enjoy it for the spirit.
Are you still feeling normal? Just making sure before we start slowing down the time machine.
Am I not supposed to feel normal?
No, I mean, you should feel normal. You should feel fine. I just want to make sure.
You should feel fine. That I'm feeling fine.
Yes, before we slow down the time machine. Just because we had to make all these changes after Lexter did what Lexter did. Totally my fault for making the button red. Totally my fault.
I am feeling fine.
Okay, great. All right, so we'll slow down the time machine. Are you ready to rejoin yourself and the party and to talk to everybody else about the movie?
Yeah, I'm excited to see how everyone was experiencing the movie and if they have this similar opinions that I do.
That's exciting. That's what this is all about, or at least an aspect of it. All right, well, say goodbye to the ghost.
Bye-bye.
Let's step off. Bye-bye.
You shouldn't have pushed that button, Moises.
All right, Texana, we've just gotten off of the slow-moving time machine and rejoined ourselves at the party. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling so discombobulated. My head is spinning. What is time?
You know, you just give it a couple minutes. Luckily, you don't have to talk a bunch, only when you feel ready.
Oh, thank goodness.
In the meantime, like, you can have some water that's settled here rather than in the time machine.
I do not like my water to go through the quantum time loops, so I need it to be only reverse osmosis.
Well, we got some of that.
That's good. That's good.
Well, so we just finished The Pagemaster, and we have all of our party guests here. I want to open it up to everyone. Who's seen this movie before? How does your impression compare from when you were a child and now?
Well, seeing it as a kid, you think, oh, what's the message? And then it's, you read more, which if you're one of those kids that didn't watch animated movies, you were probably busy reading. And then you watch it as an adult, and it's, oh, I did love reading, and I did love animation. So it was good to see animated movies have a positive message in terms of more literary narrative.
I was a little bit, I guess, old for the movie. I wasn't as young as I think the target audience was when it came out. So I tolerated my little brother watching it, and I went, honestly, it's not quite advanced enough for me. I demand a bit more sophistication in my animated fare. But at the same time, there's a lot of stuff to enjoy in it, not just the what I consider the Peebo Bryson era of songs in kids' movies. That sound like this and have words like inspiration. Yeah, no matter how old you are, that's enjoyable. The voice acting's fantastic. And I think the stunt casting of various people that I knew better from Star Trek, you know, it worked. So as much as the getting to tween age self of me was resistant to enjoying kiddie stuff, I enjoyed it despite myself. But I haven't really revisited that much in the many, many years since. So it's interesting the things that stick with me, like the reference to Little Mermaid panties.
I still miss that. Can you explain?
Yeah, Fantasy appears and says that her she has to straighten out her Little Mermaid underwear.
Oh, I miss that.
And yeah, I bet Whoopi Goldberg never thought she was going to deliver that line in dialogue in a movie, an actual real movie that people saw. What I found this did trigger for me was that this really was right around the time that I was becoming cognizant of character voices that weren't famous people doing a voice in an animated show that carried on into now. Jim Cummings, Frank Welker too. But this was where I started very distinctly going, that sounds like Darkwing Duck.
Mm-hmm. It was Patrick Stewart doing the voice acting, but it could easily have been Patrick Stewart being Jean-Luc Picard on the holodeck being a pirate.
That's how I feel seeing him in anything.
As I did come dressed as the fan fiction genre, I like that action and adventure and fantasy essentially went from enemies to lovers in the story.
Since you came dressed as fan fiction, you have to make out with everybody now based on the rules of the movie. So I mean, I'm not saying we're going to hold you to that, but you very much set yourself up for that, Elle.
It's a child's movie.
With making out and smooching.
And Little Mermaid underwear.
The thing that stuck out with me the most is when I remember seeing it as a kid, I was definitely that kid that was like, everything's going to hurt me. So like I was like, oh, I identify with that kid. I'll eat my lunch in the library. But the line that stuck out with me was the very end, the page master says, and yet you stand before me after Culkin said all the crap that he went through. And it keels over as you're older in terms of like, yeah, but did you die is the parenthesis. And that's just one of the coolest takeaways that stuck with me seeing it from a kid to seeing it now.
So I really liked a lot of the animated moments were really cool. Like we were all laughing about when the CGI animation started because it was really dated, but it was also really like surreal, which I feel like was the point. And also the dragon. The cave that was the dragon. That might be a trope, but it was really cool.
Not the paint dragon.
No. The dragon scene. Spoilers. I guess they've seen it by now.
No, remember we tell people to pause before going into the time machine. Yeah.
I'm still a little bit discombobulated after last time.
Last time?
I mean, for me, it was really disconcerting watching Texana re-merge into one being in front of my own eyes. You didn't prepare me for that, Bailey. I thought I was just coming to a party. I didn't know that I was going to see body horror.
Well, honestly, Moises, most people can't perceive that, so...
Do I need to see somebody?
I'm concerned about you getting on the slow-moving time machine now.
The question is, will I ever get off of it? I may board, but can I ever disembark? What if, as the page master put it, I come out an illustration?
He was a cartoon.
Oh, okay. So you're saying the page master was wrong?
The page master is wrong.
The time machine knows all.
Okay. Who just said that? Oh. Who just said that?
Yeah, it's kind of scary. Like, I've never heard the time machine outside of the time machine before.
I think the time machine might be growing. It might be, Moises, if you're able to see the metaphysical shift in my being, rejoining the current time stream, then maybe something's going on here. Maybe we're at a nexus.
Calculating.
I need some eye drops for my third eye. Wait, I have a third eye? What's happening now?
Oh, God. You weren't even on the time machine. I didn't have you sign the waiver.
It must be an effect of the residual radiation. Oh, no. Oh, no, Bailey. I can see two.
All right, Bailey, I'm going to go into the time machine and see if I can locate Moises. Maybe we should move on to the next question in the meantime.
If you walked into a new library and the person that greeted you was like Christopher Lloyd in this movie, what do you think your reaction would be?
I would have pushed him. He got too close.
I probably would have made a very, very weird face and made like a very strange sound, like, you know, and then he probably would have just kept getting closer to me. So maybe pushing is really the only thing he would take.
He's very aggressive in his pushing of the library sciences.
I feel like that's very Doc Brown, though. I feel like that's all the characters he plays. And I love, like, but he always gets close and gets louder and gets more excited. Yeah, I do think that I would tell him to back off, though. Or like, just lean back very, very far and be like, why are you so close to my face? Which I can appreciate in a librarian. The enthusiasm, but also like, no thank you.
I think I might know what I would do, because I have a story from this time that a man tried to kiss me and I didn't want his kiss. And so that was close enough that I think I could use the same method, which was I just threw my hand up between us and I started doing the robot. And I said, awkward robot doesn't know what to do in awkward situation. And I just collapsed to the floor and wiggled away like a worm. I think that would work too.
That definitely would work. And I am inspired.
Honestly, I'd be really excited because Christopher Lloyd would be yelling at me in the library.
In the same vein of Texana, I would have definitely mashed his enthusiasm, but slowly make my way to the exit as I'm doing it. Like, yes, yes, adventure, horror, as I'm taking back steps closer and closer to the exit. And in fact, I left my library card in my car and just take off.
All right, so I couldn't find Moises in the time machine, but there was this really weird old man in there who just started yelling to me about books. So I just kind of like put my headphones in and walked past him and was like, finger guns.
So is the slow-moving time machine pulling characters out of the movies now?
Now that you mention it, there was a lot of paint everywhere.
What is happening with reality?
Error.
Look to the books!
Error.
Look to the books.
Error.
Look to the books.
Look to the books. Error.
You can't imagine anything.
Shutting down.
Oh, shit.
Okay. The time machine
is shutting down.
Is shutting down, but it's probably for the best, right?
But Moises has disappeared.
Moises has disappeared. But it's clearly pulling the realities that we were previously in into the one that we're in now. And it's clearly it's shutting down. It's a self-preservation. But how will we get Moises back?
Some kind of safety protocol.
Campaign to rewatch all of the movies with this new setting where they bring back characters out of the time machine.
But we don't know yet what the consequences of this are.
It sounds like it can only hold adventure, horror,
fantasy,
reinitializing.
Oh, okay. Which genre would you most like to hang out with and why? And what would you most want to do in their world?
I would obviously hang out with fantasy the most because she is clearly the most fun. She has a magical wand that turns into a soldering gun. Like, why wouldn't you want to do that? Plus, I definitely also had Little Mermaid Days of the Week underwear. So, we have a lot in common.
History, because they would never be boring. I feel like at any point you hang out with a history book, they're going to constantly finish every conversation with, speaking of that, did you know that in 1806, and they'll just bring up some random fact, they're going to be that book and that conversationalist. No matter what you're doing, what aisle you're in, where you're going to eat, they're going to end with like, oh man, like, and then, yeah. And I just saw my grandma, you know, fascinating fact back in the 1200s, and they'll just start doing that bit.
I would have loved to see the personification of all of the genres, or at least more than just the three genres. I feel like the sci-fi genre could have also been voiced by Patrick Stewart. That would have also been entertaining. I would have liked to, I would probably hang out with a sci-fi book.
Fanfic, I request a adult version of Pagemaster where it's romance and history and... And horror again, but grown-up horror.
Look to these books.
So I'm going to tell this fan fiction story. So I used to read a lot of fan fiction. I used to really love Harry Potter, and I would read all of the leakycauldron.com. Yeah, they were all very good fanfics. They like had chapter books, and I loved the smut versions, obviously. Anything where, you know, Harry or Hermione or Ron or Snape or Dumbledore, someone was having sex. And those were my favorite. But I was also, a preteen and a teenager, young teen. And it was on the family computer that I would read these things. We only had one computer. And I didn't know about erasing your history or anything of that sort. And so I guess, I don't know, my parents found all of this Harry Potter smut that I was reading online. And their choice to deal with that was to print all of it out. And when I came home from school, they confronted me with it spread out on the coffee table and told me to sit down, to which I screamed, ran into my bedroom and slammed the door.
That must have been a very big coffee table.
Miss Granger, you've been a very naughty girl.
Oh, no. Snape!
Oh, no. I'll tell you. That's my fan fiction story.
Wow.
Bailey, what genre would you like to hang out with?
Oh, I hadn't prepared an answer. I mean, my knee-jerk reaction is to say to hang out with horror and explore the horror stuff, but I get scared by people when they're just walking up behind me. So I like watching horror movies because there's a separation between me and them, and so I don't think that would actually work well for me. So I think that I would probably hang out with fantasy. Yeah, because there's like a lot of different places we could go, and they don't have to be like life-threatening.
I'm curious the lore behind like the separation between the genres, because there are a lot of cross-genre books. Probably most books, you would say, are somewhat cross-genre. And that just is a lot of possibilities for all the different personalities these books could have.
Ooh, a comic book, graphic novel world. That would be fun.
It's definitely a universe unto itself.
I would just actively avoid all of the Twilight books. Just the number of run-on sentences. But I think I would hang out with classical mythology. Because there are many different versions of the same stories, and I feel like that would be a lot of fun, and lots of strong characters who are not just like the typical like hero's journey hero who it, like in this one is a young boy, and there are lots of different heroes in the other stories, which I think would be interesting to see Pagemaster explored again, but like with a different main character, like not Macaulay Culkin. Macaulay Culkin's great, but he's like the stereotypical 1990s stereotype, and it'd be nice to see the same story revisited with a different character.
What about adult Macaulay Culkin? Oh, and he is looking for books like the Tibetan Book of the Dead and psychedelic reading, though that would be interesting.
You know, he has a child now. It could be just like Pagemaster part two, and it's just like his kid goes to the same library and goes through the same adventure, and then when he comes home, Macaulay Culkin's like, where have you been? But then on the bookshelf behind him, you can see the three books that he stole from the library when he was a kid.
I kind of like the idea of him doing it as an adult, though. That cool stuff doesn't just happen to kids.
I would just be interested in seeing the Pagemaster redone in the 21st century with what materials that we have at our whim now, because it could be so beautiful and cool. It's already so cool and beautiful. And then you could just, so many different genres and possibilities. You could just make this movie multiple times over, and it would be good, I think, as every iteration.
It's a really good point, especially that scene where Macaulay walks in and the librarian looks at him with shock and awe would hit so much harder now. And that librarian would be like, you don't have a smartwatch or a phone in your pocket. Are you here for a book? And the kid being like, yeah, internet's down, so I needed to do like a report. Oh, you came to the right place. Because the stakes are higher, things get a little bit more real, and it's like, what's your report on world history? And he takes him to the encyclopedia section, where he doesn't just do fantasy, he does like real world events. He reads about things that have happened in world history.
And the remake of the Pagemaster, who's going to do the whole head cocky, slow smile, crinkle eye, Christopher Lloyd again.
Some libraries have cool old relics, like the New York Library has a bunch of just like random stuff, old pieces of clothing and old things from like different authors and famous estates. And that would be really cool to kind of bring in almost like a Scooby-Doo-esque kind of treasure hunt into the Pagemaster. But if you're able to hang out with the encyclopedia, I think that would be neat to see that person personified as a book character.
Y'all should pitch this to Netflix as a show.
Can you think of something you had to do in your childhood that was particularly brave?
So, deep personal story. When I saw this movie, it was with some friends who ditched me. And I was, again, scared kid. I had to wait for my mom to pick me up by myself at the movie theater. And I was brave and didn't call 911 and ask cops to escort me to my house.
It's so relevant to this movie, too. Very good. Thank you.
I feel like I was just a very brave kid, just from the get-go. Nothing really scared me. So I've done some pretty scary things that I don't think of as me being brave. But first time I ever went skiing, I was 8 years old. And day one, I was like, these bunny slopes, pff, these blue slopes, pff, these greens, no. And I went all the way to the black high, difficult slopes. First time I ever went skiing as an 8-year-old. And yeah, no, I did not. I went to the top of a double black diamond and I was like, no, let's just go to the regular black diamonds. And so that was a really scary thing, I'm sure, for some people. But I was not scared at all. It was just exhilarating. I've also done like skydiving, but that wasn't scary at all either, jumping out of the plane. It was just exciting.
Executing plane jump protocol.
What happened?
Moises?
Where were we? What?
What happened to you?
What was the question?
Can you think of anything from your childhood where you were particularly brave?
No, but I saw things while I was in there. And I made it out alive. And I wasn't eaten by a cartoon dragon. Not today.
Oh my god, Moises. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're okay. At least, like, physically.
I think I'm gonna sit down. I can't stop making cartoon noises.
Moises, you look different. Like, more two-dimensional and less human-like.
Error.
I don't know how to fix this. This is very new.
It's okay. I like me this way.
I think that you must go back into the time machine and regenerate more fully. Perchance you won't be able to join us until the next time the time machine is put to work.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that if the time machine did this to you, maybe you're not finished cooking in the time machine.
I have to go back? I have to go back?
Yeah, because you can't exist in the world like this.
Jane, get me off this crazy thing!
Oh my gosh, there's cartoons in his brain.
I've gone full Jetsons. Help! Help!
Reclaiming foreign object. Reinitializing. Goodbye.
I think that it might be time to wrap this up. Texana?
Yes.
How is this? I'm sorry, I'm like really flustered right now. I don't understand what's happening. And we do need to finish this episode. I'm so sorry to everybody. I didn't know the time machine could do this. I'm glad that nothing happened to neither of us while we were in the time machine. I'm just so sorry.
It's okay.
How was it watching this movie again with a group of people?
It was delightful watching this movie again, because watching it, I really just remembered so much of it, like how all of the different things influenced my life, like the dripping water from the rain and then the dripping paint from the ceiling is one of the scenes that just stuck with me my entire life. And I didn't really fully realize that those drips are from this movie, but I just think about those drips a lot. It just answered so many questions about what I did love, and just looking back in my childhood and opening my eyes a little bit more.
I'm glad it was still enjoyable for you watching it as an adult. Thank you for sharing this movie with us.
Yes, thank you for picking my movie.
Thank you everyone for coming and watching the movie with us and sharing your stories. Until next time, return your videos here.
This button is cool to press.
Look to the box!
MC Hardcover.
Hardcover.
What's up,
M- bookworms?
Gonna check out as much as I can carry. I got to stick to a strict itinerary. Got them bifocals, call me a visionary. I'm cutting in through the topiary, quiet like a cemetery. Literary mission to expand my vocabulary. Solitary emissary, something in the air. Stand still for a sec, cause it smells like stationery. Take a finger and drag it down the row. Here we go, touching titles till I find the one I chose. Feel the tingle on your spine when I pull you out nice and slow. This ain't no PDF, we getting physical. Touch it like a book, touch it like a book. Touch it like a book, touch it like a book. Touch it like a book, touch it like a book. Shh. You're up, DJ, rising action.
Introduce me to your plot tonight. Exposition that set the stage. Find a private look and slip between your covers. Lick my finger and turn your page. You're hearing a DJ rising action.
The Memory Static Podcast is hosted and edited by Bailey Moore, with original score and additional sound editing by Indigo Starbeam. The slow-moving time machine is voiced by... Original song is written by Bailey Moore and Indigo Starbeam. Find more music at IndigoStarbeam.com. To learn more about the film events, follow Memory Static Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you like the show, please consider donating to our Patreon. If you have stories to share about any movie we've covered, please write us at memorystatic@gmail.com. Special thanks to our guest,
Texana Day.
And thank you to all of our party guests. And thank you for listening. Goodbye.